This is Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your flagship station of the Jacksonville Jaguars, News Talk Radio WOKV. To join Brian Sexton.
Brian Cushing, what kind of a player could he be without steroids?
Jeff Lagerman.
It's a lot better to be picked last and finish higher.
And Vic Ketchman.
Negative all the time, Vic.
Okay, Bill, please, you're going to make me cry here. Your positivity is just negative.
Dial 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Jaguars This Week is brought to you in part by Prudential Network Realty, Ticket Exchange, and by the Jacksonville Transportation Group. Now, here's the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton.
I don't ever get tired of that open.
It's beautiful.
Bill, you've made my day that particular day, and you continue to make it for the last couple of weeks because we get to hear it back, and I think it's great. I think more people should call up and tell Vic to do the same.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's, you know.
I'm used to it.
I'm kind of tired of Vic's negativity, too, you know, and you know, hopefully he'll change his tune a little bit before we get into the 2010 season. I'm Jeff Logham, Vic Ketchman, senior editor of Jaguars.com. Brian Sexton is on assignment tonight with Team Teal, and I think he's going to catch up with us at some point tonight. I don't know when, but we certainly have a lot of topics to get into.
I'm not good at selling things. That's why they didn't send me.
That's why you're a writer. You sell every day by hitting the old keyboard.
Yeah.
So we got a lot to get into. The interior of the Jaguars offensive line certainly has changed from last week, something that I don't think that we were expecting, but something that you might have thought if you really kind of watched closely for those that have been able to attend OTAs, and I'm talking about the media members, and we're talking about the addition of Justin Smiley. And for a couple weeks, I've kind of gone, boy, what's wrong with Vince Monowai working with the twos? And then all of a sudden, you know, the talk starts to happen down there in Miami about Justin Smiley, and they talk about, well, he's going to get cut if he doesn't get traded. First, let me ask you this. What did it cost for the Jaguars to get him?
I'm hearing that he restructured. He was willing to restructure his contract. I'm hearing, and not from inside here, inside these walls, but I'm hearing that it's the restructuring is going to pay him about $3 million this year.
Okay.
He signed a five-year, $25 million deal.
I would assume that's substantially less than what the contract was going to pay him in Miami.
I think he was a five guy.
Okay.
He signed 2 years ago. He signed a five-year, $25 million contract.
Reports are that the Jaguars had to give up a conditional draft pick. I'm assuming sixth, seventh round pick.
Reports are, Jeff.
One or the other?
Reports are that it was a conditional seventh round pick. Now, I can't confirm or deny that, but neither will I try to deny it.
Okay.
Confirm it, but I will say that reports are it's
conditional seventh round pick, yes. Which means that I'm assuming play time.
The condition is that he has a heartbeat on opening day.
Okay, if he's got a heartbeat on opening day on the Jaguars roster, it's a seventh round pick.
Yes, okay. I'm guessing that's the condition.
Wink, wink. I got you. Did you expect it? I mean, because for a while, you know, me and you, and I think a lot of other people, are going, what's wrong with Vince Monowai? I mean, he's. He's now the second season removed from his ACL reconstruction. Last year, when he reported to training camp and in the OTAs, he was in phenomenal shape. His weight was down. This year, I guess his weight got up a little bit. With Vince, it's kind of hard to tell.
Jack Del Rio said yesterday.
The head coach said that was part of it.
Well, Jack Del Rio said yesterday his weight is down. He's trying, and he's got his weight down.
Which implies that the weight was an issue at some point.
Look, I think the knee, Vinny's just not moving well. And you know, this is a ACL on a 330-pound guy?
Yeah, give or take.
And I want to tell you, folks, Vince Manawai has legs like Earl Campbell, legs
huge.
Like Ernie Holmes.
His calves are as big as my thighs.
Oh, enormous legs. I mean, a really, really heavy-legged guy. You don't cut into and reconstruct the knee of a man with a leg that size, with a lower body the size of Vince Manowai's, and shortcut the recovery process. It's widely considered that an ACL procedure requires 2 years of recovery. You're not gonna shortcut that with Vince Manuel. He's gonna need both years. He's gonna need both years of recovery, and he is not completed 2 years of recovery yet. So, you know, let's be careful. Let's be fair with the expectation for him. I'll say that. Now, coming out of minicamp, I heard the rumblings.
The rumblings were what?
That he struggled, that he's not moving well.
Okay.
I also heard the rumblings that the interior play of their offensive line is a real concern. I didn't know about Smiley. I knew that they were looking. They had to be looking because they're displeased with their performance inside.
Gene Smith had said that the most disappointing thing coming out of the draft is that they weren't able to address the interior of the offensive line. He said that.
Yeah, and let me give you a little bit of information on that, too. I forget what round it was, but I remember doing my my draft day blog, and it was the Jaguars' turn to pick. I think it was the fifth round, and yes, it was the fifth round, and I said, oh, this is a perfect spot for Matt Tennant, the Boston College center, who I knew they liked a little.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bad center crop, and this guy was, you know, one of the better ones. You know, he would have been a good pick there. And, of course, what they did was trade with New Orleans to get a fourth-round pick for the fifth-round pick at that spot, which is – that's value. And it's value that Gene Smith wanted to get because next year is going to be the big quarterback draft, and you want to be armed with as many, you know, trade-up kind of picks as possible.
You want a lot of ammo.
Yes, a lot of ammunition. So that's why they made the deal. Well, I have since, I believe, I have since found out, but I will neither confirm nor deny this, that Tennant would have been their pick had the trade been made. So they wanted to address. They really wanted to address their interior offense, the interior of their offensive line, meaning center to guard positions. But Gene Smith will not stray from value. If he has an option between a higher value pick or a lower value pick of need, he's gonna go with the higher value pick. In this particular case, the pick was a trade into the fourth round for next year.
Well, there was a lot made of kind of the interior of the offensive line after the draft, and it's a boy they wanted to address it. You know, and my kind of opinion all along has
bad year for guards and centers.
Well, regardless of what it was, I mean, the Jaguars weren't in that bad a shape in the interior of the line.
I think they thought they were.
I didn't think they were that bad off. And the reason I say that is because Keenan Forney, who now people are talking about because he's running with the ones and Vince is running with the twos.
But wait a minute. Is he – I'm sorry for
he's not the long-term solution.
He's 11 years in the league.
No, I know that. But people have a tendency to forget how quality a player how good of a quality of a player that a player is once they start to get past 10 years.
Oh, he was a real good player.
Keenan Forney was a Pro Bowl caliber player.
A road grader.
Yes.
I mean, he blew people off the ball.
He was a true right guard, left guard, take your pick. I mean, so I didn't kind of envision them as being bad off. Now, I didn't look at them and say, boy, they've got that fixed for the next 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. I didn't see it as an immediate need that they had to address right away.
Jeff, there's no doubt in my mind Gene Smith had Justin Smiley targeted way back into the winter because they knew that the big tuna, Parcells, was not happy with giving him $25 million and then he's hurt the next 2 years.
Well, and you know one thing about Gene. He really leans on his college evaluations.
Yes.
Okay, so I guarantee
they liked him coming out of Alabama.
They liked him coming out of Alabama, and so he went back and looked at that evaluation and looked at that.
And the injuries are legit. The two injuries he had are legit.
But they can be rehabilitated.
Yes. But I'm just saying he wasn't jaking it.
Otherwise, he wouldn't pass physical. So anyway, we're going to continue to talk more about that as well as the New Jersey Super Bowl. And this portion of Jaguars This Week is brought to you by North Florida's Labor Union, a job done on time and on budget. That's the union way. More to come right after this on Jaguars This Week right here on WOKV.
Fans, the Jaguars 30-30 plan is still available, but only until May 31st. That's this Monday. You can lock in 2010 prices for 3 years and pay for 30 games over 30 months. Just call 633-2000. That's 633-2000 for more details.
Very nice read, Joe.
Thank you, Jeff.
And by the way, thank you for the cold beverage that you bought me at the Suns game today. We went over, and Vic, disappointed you didn't make it.
Thank you.
Fantastic game. Suns won.
How come you didn't go?
I had to get a PET scan. It's a lot of fun.
And no, he didn't need to take his pet somewhere to get
say,
it scanned.
No, they shoot radioactive, some kind of radioactive thing inside
checking
you.
Checking Vic out.
And then they look real hard for cancer.
Yeah. So you had a legitimate reason to not join.
I had a wonderful
You
afternoon.
Had kind of a glow about you.
Yeah.
We had a great time. Folks, if you haven't been to a Suns game, man, do yourself a favor and check it out.
And they won.
They won. They had a great time and had a lot of fun. It's the second game I've been to this year, and I plan on going to many more. So anyway, back.
I want to ask you something.
Yes.
I want you to please tell the listeners what you said to me during the break. We were talking about wide receivers, mm-hmm. and you said the one guy who continues to impress me is
Tyquan Underwood.
Talk about him. Tell him what you said to me.
Well, you know, last year when he played and he practiced, the body language kind of said, I'm not sure if I belong here. I'm getting pushed around. I'm not getting off the jam, you know, which, you know, a lot of times on a late draft pick, a player that needs time to develop, that's kind of what you get. This year, the type of player that I'm seeing says, and I'm talking body language, it's speaking to me and it says, I belong and I'm here to compete and I'm here to find myself a role.
What do you think? Is he possibly 10 pounds heavier?
Yeah, he's probably a little bit bigger. I mean, is he all of a sudden now, you know, does he have muscles like Joe Fortunato? No. You know, he's still a pretty slender guy. But that's okay. I mean, wide receivers don't need to be big, hulking Terrell Owens types.
This guy glides.
As long as he can run, and boy, does he run, and he runs smooth.
He glides.
And he doesn't just run deep. That's what's impressed me so far in OTAs. He's caught the ball deep. He's caught the ball going across the middle. He's worked the entire field. And this is at the point where I really kind of expected Troy to kind of look like that, because remember last year at this time, Troy was looking good. Mm-hmm. And especially in training camp, it only got better. Mm-hmm. Troy's just kind of been okay.
I think it's unfair, though, to a couple OTA practices and the guy goes clang, clang, and all of a sudden he's a dog.
No,
I don't
he's not
think that's
a dog.
Fair.
Well, wait a minute. You kind of had that reaction to Jared Dillard last year when he had a few drops.
No, it was in training camp he had the drops.
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, I didn't think. That's fair. That's fair. Yes. He went through a terrible case of the dropsies.
About 3 days.
Yeah. It was pretty bad.
Well, it wasn't longer than that. It seems like it is because, you know, you got 2 practices a day, and sometimes, you know, all of a sudden the days are actually shorter than what it seems.
Now, this year in OTAs, which I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to crown anybody in OTAs, but in OTAs, Jared Dillard has been outstanding.
He's been good.
Really, really good, especially at what he does, his role, which is sit down in the zone, you know, get his body turned around in time to catch the ball, which he wasn't doing in training camp. He was late last year in coming out of his routes. But anyhow, getting back to Underwood, because he's a guy I really, really liked last year. And you've always
accused
me.
You should like him because he's got speed.
You've always accused me of being too soon, being a year ahead.
Yeah, you get a little speeding ticket sometimes, yeah. Every now and again.
But I'll tell you what. So I didn't want to go back and do it again this year because it would be thou doth protest too much almost kind mm-hmm. of thing. So I'll let you do it for me. Folks, he really looks good.
He looks good, but we can't get ahead of ourselves. Remember, folks, I mean, we say all of these things about players looking good. I mean, heck, Clarence Denmark looks good.
He's the leader for Underwear League MVP right now.
Yeah, and you asked me what I thought of him, and I just thought, I think he's kind of just a guy. I mean, he's having fantastic practices, but the thing that kind of makes me hesitant to jump on that bandwagon with him is that he's still small. He's not sudden, not like some of the other guys are. But the one thing about the group as a whole, the wide receiver group as a whole, it clearly is better than it has ever been, I think, since
better than those turns they had here.
No question.
Oh, yeah.
No question. Their work ethic is great. Pretty much all practicing now, with the exception of Mike Thomas. How you get a hamstring at this time of the year, I don't know.
What's with Zach Miller? Do you know what that injury is?
I'm not sure.
Foot, an ankle, what is shin? Is it a stress fracture?
Well, I just know that last year, remember, he had that knee in training camp, and it was kind of one of those things where they want to be real cautious about because it was a
– Yeah, but he was wearing a boot on the foot. The lower – he's been wearing – he wore in minicamp some kind of a protective boot.
For around, ankle foot.
Yeah, ankle
okay.
foot.
Well, last year he had a bone bruise, you know, which can turn into something that may need microfracture, so they're very cautious about it. I will say this about Zach Miller. Last year, you know, 230-pound guy,
mm-hmm.
you know, runs fast. He's put on 15-plus pounds of weight.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've noticed, it's not 15 pounds of flab now. He's got some to him, you know, so I'll be glad when he gets back out on the field because he's bigger. I'm hoping that like with a lot of guys that are at that age, that 21, 22, 23, a lot of times when they make weight gains, they gain muscle and they actually get faster, which is sometimes contrary to what most people believe. But he looks good. He's rehabbing with Mike Ryan and with Luke Richardson, the strength and conditioning coach, off to the side, and he is working his rear end off. He's kind of leading the way over there with that group and setting a tempo.
I was thinking the other day that if I had a wish, other than for a lot of money, I would wish that it was 2003 again. I wish that they had what they had in 2003. I'm talking about Gene Smith and the personnel department because they wasted a lot of years. It's just bad picks and bad signings, and now they're doing it the right way. But, you know, we're running out of time. You know, I wish this was 2003 because there was patience then, and you had time. But we're running out of time now. This has got to get done, and it's got to get done pretty quick, and it's unfortunate because this isn't going to go quickly. They need more time.
I was asked today by a friend of mine at the baseball game, and he asked me what I thought of the draft picks, and Joe was right there, and I said to him, I said, look, I said, the only way that you can judge this year's draft is to go back and look at last year's draft, and it was a very good draft.
Right.
And so you take that year and you say, hey, if it was good last year, it's good this year. But my impressions are, from watching with my eyes, it looks like a very good draft. All of the picks, to me, look like very good football players that I think are going to be big contributors. And one thing that I wanted to add about OTAs, and I haven't heard you say this or talk about this or anything. When is the last time that you remember that a tempo and an intensity matching what they're doing in OTAs right now?
Well, wait a minute. I asked you earlier today. I said, hey, Jeff, what do you think of the intensity in OTAs? A little high? What do you think? You know, and yeah, you said it could be. I got to tell you, I think Coach Del Rio should dial it down just a little bit. You got to save something for training camp, Jack. I mean, folks, these guys, this is training camp without pads.
Well, I don't. Well,
right?
The physical contact is not super high, but it's there's intense. Yes, Joe.
Didn't you get in trouble for sitting down?
Yeah, I heard about that. Didn't you hear about this?
No.
Well, you know, me being old, having had a heart attack, I get leeway.
Okay.
So, I'm it's hot and my back's stiff. So I sat down on those pads, those dummies they use that they stack up those orange things on the sideline. I figured I'd sit down and rest a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
One of the PR guys comes over, Renzo, comes over and says, hey, would you do me a favor and stand up? Ryan Robinson just got ripped by the coach for Brian and Jeff.
I thought it was Jeff that was sitting.
Yeah.
And instigated
for Jeff.
You're looking
at Jeff and Ryan sitting down.
Ryan came up to me and said, you know, because the head coach doesn't want media members lounging on the pads mm-hmm. and stuff, and you know, member of the media. And hey, look, 42-year-old, played 10 years in the league. My back doesn't feel good. Okay, it's fact. I'm not trying to make
no
an excuse.
Question. Yeah, hey.
Standing around for 2 hours and 20 minutes, which is about the length of an OTA practice mm-hmm. right now. I sat down, and Ron comes up. He goes, hey, Logs, can you do me a favor? Can you not sit down? You know, I don't want to get my butt chewed.
Wow. Yeah, you know, from what I understand, it was chewed.
So you know what
you
I did?
You did it.
You know what I did?
What?
I was
slowly?
Sitting, you know, they had those big, heavy round balls that uh-huh. they throw at players' feet and simulate a chop block?
No, you sat on the ball.
No, I rolled the ball out to the edge of the field and sat
That's what I saw. Yeah.
Oh, see, that's gutsy.
And you might not remember this. And I know you will, Vic.
He sat on his balls.
Was it because you were? Yeah.
Vic, singular ball.
You were playing at the time. You may not know this.
I was playing.
But in 95, no, I meant playing ball. Yep. But in 95, and I think it was 96, remember, we couldn't wear sunglasses out there, remember, with Coughlin?
Yeah.
And he had the coaches, the media box
and a whole bit. I got to tell you a story about those days when we came back.
We got to take a break. And this portion of Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Just Deck Watches, available exclusively at Espeline Jewelers. Get yourself a Just Deck Watch. Jeff Loggeman, Vic Ketchman, more to come on Jaguars This Week right here on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Fans, the 7th annual Jaguars Got Skills Rookie Day is happening Friday, June 18th, 8:30 in the morning over the Pepsi Plaza. Now, there's only going to be space for 200 kids, so if you've got a child age 6 to 14, you need to register. Do it early. All the info and registration forms that you're going to need are on the Fan Zone section of Jaguars.com. That's the Fan Zone section of Jaguars.com. Victor?
And I just clicked on Fan Zone.
Did you?
And you can get all the information right there. I just pulled it
that
up.
That easy?
Just pulled
Not
it up.
Not hard? Anybody can figure it out?
They got contests there and all the whole nine yards, so check it out. And, Vic, before we went to a break, you had mentioned a story about Coughlin and as it relates to the media.
The media box. He had a media box on the practice field that was a lot like the first base and third base coaching boxes, where it was shaped in like a U or an elongated U, where you had to stand on the sideline inside this box, so to speak. You couldn't wander around the fields. Anyhow, you remember Dion Figures.
Yeah.
They signed Dion Figures in free agency, and when they were contemplating doing it, Tom called me and said, hey, come on over here and tell us about Dion Figures from your days in Pittsburgh. You know about him as a guy.
Yes.
Okay. So, hey, I like Dion.
No, good guy.
I really like him. Anyhow, I'll tell you another story about him when we're
just
done.
Just didn't want to make him mad.
Oh, no. This is a tough guy. So I go over and I say, hey, he's you're talking about a tough guy here. And I said, and I could tell you some stories about him, about his character. This is a guy who is, this is a really genuine guy, blah, 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 blah. And I said, there's not much competition for him, is there, Tom? Yeah, I says, it's between us and San Francisco. I said, you got nothing to worry about. I said, you don't have to throw a big dollar out there. I said, he'll never play for San Francisco. And Tom said, why not? I said, because they wear red. What does that mean? I said, Dion's a Crip. He would never wear a red jersey. Coughlin, oh, that's ridiculous. You know, get out of here. I said, Coach, I'm telling you, he would never wear a red jersey in Pittsburgh. They gave blue green binders to the offense and red binders to the defense, and he wouldn't carry a red binder. They had to get him a blue binder. All right? He said, that's nuts. Get out of here. All right. Remember those little red hats?
You put on the helmet.
Put it over the top of your
like
helmet
a shower
for special teams, like a shower cap, a red shower cap over your helmet for special teams practice.
I remember it.
All right. So I'm in the box, the media box, and Dion is all the way over next to the box as the wingman or whatever they call it, running down the sideline, you know, to cover kicks. And he's got the little red thing, and he puts it on his head, and it falls off, and then he picks it up, and it falls down.
Carried in his hand.
Right. He wouldn't put it on his helmet. Puts it on top of his helmet. They blow the ball is kicked. He runs. The thing keeps falling off onto the ground. All right. So I walk out. I pick up the little red hat, and as Coughlin walks by, I handed it to him. I said, here's your hat, Coach. He says, get back in the box. told you.
Speaking of Coughlin, I saw that him and Rex Ryan were interviewed about the Super Bowl that's going to be in New Jersey. And I find it kind of...
New York.
No, New Jersey.
There is no New Jersey.
I kind of find it funny
New York and Philadelphia.
Everybody's talking about New York, New Jersey. Well, if the site is actually in New Jersey, shouldn't it be New Jersey / New York instead of New York / New Jersey?
I mean, do you really want to use New Jersey when you could use New York?
No, I mean, I know the why, but I'm certain that the people of New Jersey don't appreciate that.
It's a tough existence. You know, I mean, it's you live in a place that no one wants to acknowledge.
Yeah, and I guarantee you that the state coffers are probably happy about New York because, you know, obviously there's a lot of income derived mm-hmm. from residents that gain their income from working in New York. Mm-hmm. But that's beside the point. So anyway, we're going to call it, I will, call it the New Jersey Super Bowl because now both teams are in New Jersey. If it was going to be a New York Super Bowl, it would have to be held in Buffalo,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, it's the only true New York team left.
But that's right, yeah.
Okay. Your thoughts on it being held in New Jersey?
Well, I'll tell you.
Good or bad?
I'm okay with it. I'm warming to it.
That's kind of funny.
But, you know, my real concern all these years has been that somebody is going to end up playing a Super Bowl on their home turf, in their home stadium. In the old days, they played the Super Bowl in Tulane Stadium, the Rose Bowl, Rice Stadium, Stanford Stadium. They used neutral sites in many cases, and it wasn't as much of a fear, although, you know, we almost had it in Super Bowl 14 where the Rams played the Steelers in the Rose Bowl. I mean, for all intents and purposes, it wasn't their home field, but it was in their home city. Now, you can't play these games in places like Rice Stadium. They're just not good enough. And the best stadiums are NFL stadiums, which means that we're going to be playing these Super Bowls in NFL stadiums.
In Dallas, newer NFL stadiums.
In the $1.6 billion stadiums. You know, when you build a stadium with G3 money and you spend that much on it, you're going to play a Super Bowl in it, which means that it's inevitable. We're going to have a game where a Super Bowl game where a team is going to be playing in its home turf, dressing in its own locker, mm-hmm. all right, which I think is horribly unfair, would be horribly unfair. So if we're going to do that, you might as well play it in the cold, too. I don't think the weather is, I just don't see it as that big of a deal. Have we really gotten so soft that we can't sit out in the cold for a few hours?
Well, the average daytime highs, I guess, at that time of the year is in the low 40s.
Get a heavy coat.
But, of course, the game is not going to kick off until sometime after 8, so you figure that the kickoff temperature is going to be in the 20s, 30s, somewhere in that range. So it's going to be cold. And I don't have a problem with the cold. The only thing that I'm concerned about is that if you do have inclement weather, the game, what are you going to do?
You play.
But I'm
the ice bowl is the ice bowl is the greatest game of all time, or one of the two of them. The other one being the greatest game ever, 1958 NFL title game. How about a couple years ago, the Monday night game in Heinz Field, 3-0, and the punt sticks in the mud. And whoa, what a terrible game! Did you see the TV ratings?
It was memorable.
They went up the whole time.
Yep.
The games the Jaguars have played in New England where it snowed and the fans sing, let it snow, let it snow. I mean, it's snow, bad weather, drive TV ratings, and they get nicknames for games. When you have bad weather, you get names like Ice Bowl, Mud Bowl, Slush Bowl, whatever. So I don't think that's the big deal. I think, Jeff, you would probably have to agree that the NFL will have mammoth heaters all over the place blowing hot air. They won't let those people be uncomfortable.
No, and I think it's fine. I don't think it's that big of a deal. The only thing that I worry about is that if travel becomes an issue for the people that want to attend the game, I mean, the majority of the fans are going to be watching it on TV, so it's not going to matter anyway.
Right.
But I like it just because, for one, it's in the elements. Football was meant to be played in the elements, and I think that certainly some teams that were built for cold weather can perform in that type of weather and play to the type of team that they are.
Quick survey. Joe, do you want it to snow that night?
Yeah.
Jeff, do you want it to snow that night?
Hold on. Say it again.
Yeah,
Joe.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Do you want it to snow?
Yeah.
I want it to snow, too.
I don't want 2 feet.
I'd
where
be fine
people
with
can't get to the game.
But people say, gee, what if it snows? Everybody wants it to snow. Woody Johnson said he hopes it snows.
But I'll tell you what, as an Eagles fan, I hated the Fog Bowl.
Yeah, that's no fun when you can't see the damn thing.
You couldn't watch the game. That's a little different.
Yeah.
It's weather.
I don't think it'll ever happen again, though.
What's that?
A cold weather game.
I don't know.
You got two owners in that market.
It's going to happen in Washington. Mark my words, Washington, the nation's capital, will get one of these.
Well, you're probably right.
All right, well, then what about, this is Super Bowl, 48 we're talking about, right? So why not have Super Bowl 50, the big monumental Super Bowl, in Green Bay?
Oh, yeah.
They don't even have... They would have to build tents, a tent city.
That's not your biggest problem in Green Bay. People. Your big problem in Green Bay is bench seats.
And hotels.
Bench seats?
Yeah. Lambeau Field is bench seating.
Oh, yeah.
That's
a
big
problem. It's fixable.
You can get the cruise ships, too, to come in to Green Bay. No, maybe not.
No, the ice ships.
Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by your Gate today. Jeff Loggeman, Vic Ketchman, right here on Jaguars This Week on News Talk Radio WOKV. One more segment to go before we say goodbye.
When you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. 7 Jacksonville locations, Stein Mart. Once you go, you get it.
All right, Vic, last segment here, and to kind of wrap things up, talking about the Super Bowl, if you could give me three sites, three cities right now that should be a rotation, on a rotation basis, be Super Bowl host cities. Which ones?
Los Angeles, Miami, and New Orleans. I just like the idea of east, west, and in the middle. I think New Orleans is just a fabulous destination for the Super Bowl because of Bourbon Street and its nightlife. And I think Miami and Southern California, South Florida give you your best weather conditions. And I like the idea of a warm weather site. I would prefer it be a neutral site, which you're not going to get possibly in Miami. But I got to tell you, Jeff, in my opinion, the definitive bowl game, Super Bowl, the definitive championship game, neutral, warm weather site is the Rose Bowl. It's the most beautiful place I have ever covered a game. It is, when the sun sets on the San Gabriel Mountains, it's like nothing. They turn purple.
That's a long ways off, though.
Well,
maybe not longer as you think, but I mean, that's...
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, you got to have a big stadium.
It's 100
Super Bowl.
It's 100.
Yeah, I'm talking luxury boxes, the whole nine.
Well, that's the problem. It doesn't have the amenities. It's a bench seat stadium, if I'm not mistaken. I know it's been renovated, but I'll tell you, the Rose Bowl is just, man, there's nothing like it.
Yeah, and see, I'm a little different. I like Glendale. I love Arizona Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas. I mean, with that stadium, how could you not have Super Bowls in that? And then Miami, just because it's, you know, it makes sense. And I know what you mean as far as New Orleans, because New Orleans is a special place in that the stadium sits right amongst all of the activities in the nightlife.
They know how to put on a show.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, if there was a perfect city to host a Super Bowl, mm-hmm. it would be New Orleans.
Now, I covered 9 in Tulane Stadium. The Superdome was supposed to be done, but it wasn't finished. They had to move the game to Tulane Stadium. The weather was horrible. It was right on the snow line. It was like the game was played in the 30s, and late in the game, it was dropping right down around 32, and it was a half rain, half snow kind of thing. Tulane Stadium was a dump. It was scheduled to be torn down. So it's not like this game hasn't been played in bad weather. A few years ago when Indianapolis won, they played in a driving rain the whole game in Miami.
All right, let me ask you this question, because I think it's an important question, because I think you had an opinion one way at one point. Now that a lot has happened, a few years have passed under the leadership of Roger Goodell, evaluate his performance.
Well,
because you were kind of on him a couple years ago. With the handling of player conduct.
Okay, let me ask you this. Here's a guy who's been really heavy-handed in dealing with the players in punishment in enforcement issues, right?
Mm-hmm.
Has it deterred them one bit?
I think it has.
Oh, no. Come on.
I do. I think
it's worse than ever.
No, I disagree.
The Roethlisberger thing wasn't the absolute peak of all?
No, I think that the players have taken note, and they understand, and they get it, and I think the incidents have dropped. I think the coverage has gotten bigger.
Well, anyhow.
Just give me a grade on 1 to 10.
His grade is coming up on this next CBA. We don't have to give a grade right now. His grade will be determined by what they do in the next this next CBA, this next bargaining agreement that they're going to reach with the players at some point. His position was seriously and severely, in my opinion, weakened by this American Needle Supreme Court ruling that occurred on Monday.
And this ruling that happened on Monday, I mean, could we not spend an entire show talking about the implications of this?
The people would turn it off in the first 2 minutes.
Well, and do we really know the implications of this?
I think
one side says that, boy, that's a win for us, and that's the union, and the league's position is it has no impact on labor.
I think we know one thing. I think we know that the ruling says that the league cannot negotiate for its 32 teams. They don't have the ability to act as one entity. If the union decertifies, which they almost certainly would do if the league tried to do the one entity thing, then the 32 teams would have to negotiate independently with their respective players, and that would open the door for massive antitrust claims. The league's not going to want that. The league, in my opinion, is going to have to go to the players' union with its hat in its hand and say, "Let's talk."
Well,
I think there's less chance for a lockout now than there was last week.
I've always wondered this because, I mean, I was a part of the union. Okay, how can you? And it worked, it helped the union, but I've always wondered, how do you go from being a union to decertify, now you're an association?
You can do it.
Well, we're a union now.
It's that easy.
It's that easy.
It's that easy. You just decertify. You say we're out, then you say we're in. And to say you're out, all you got to do is say you're out. To say you're in, all you got to do is have a petition with, you know, that represents the majority. Something to that effect. I mean, the league, the owners have to have a strong players union as much as the players need a strong players union, because you can't have a CBA, you can't negotiate a collective bargaining agreement if you don't have a group with which to
negotiate with.
Right.
Because otherwise you're negotiating with individuals.
And what does that CBA protect? The draft.
But is the draft that important anymore?
I think that's a fair question. I'm not sure that it is, but it is something the league wants to protect.
And I say that from a labor standpoint.
You get into
the draft is critical to a franchise's existence.
You get into unfettered free agency if you don't have a draft. Then everybody's free.
Can you imagine that?
Wow.
I mean, really, can you imagine college players coming out negotiating for the highest deal?
If you are a fan if you're a fan and you don't want a lockout in 2011, then this ruling on Monday favors that.
Whew.
In my opinion.
Crazy. Well, something certainly to keep an eye on, because the American Needle case, you know, like I said, one side says, boy, what a victory. The other side says, it doesn't change anything.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly something to watch.
Yes.
And I think I don't consider you a legal expert.
I'm not a legal mind. I'm repeating what I hear.
And as more information comes in, we'll continue to talk about that. Enjoyed it, Vic.
Thanks, Jeff.
Have a great week. And everybody, have a safe and happy Memorial weekend. And thank you to all the veterans out there. We'll see you next week.
This has been Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your flagship station for Jaguars football, AM 690 and 106.5 FM. News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.